To each his own. Live and let live. Different strokes for different folks. Don't rock the boat. Each of these is a common saying. They are phrases that we might describe as common folk wisdom. However, each of these sayings amounts to another one word saying, which perhaps points to our doom as a society. That postmodern verbal shrug of whatever. What these proverbs convey is the notion that when all is said and done, that this world's many jigsaw puzzle pieces cannot and so will not be assembled into a single coherent picture of life. Of course, wisdom in the biblical sense need not be pursued because there's finally, at the end of it all, really no point. Each of us has been handed at some point or another in our life little boxes of puzzle pieces, and literally when we were children and figuratively as adults. And those pieces conveniently snap together in any number of different ways, kind of like the Lego the kids were playing with. So if the picture I end up assembling of what I think my life should look like, well, if it ends up being wildly different from what you piece together, no big deal. Whatever. Different strokes for different folks. Why would anyone even expect that our two puzzles or our two Lego constructions would end up looking similar? What we get in the book of Proverbs is a concentrated graduate course in the art of living. It is an education that is founded on the premise that life does add up to something coherent and good, stable and full of peace, because there is a creator God who made each person and each thing. Further, God made each person and each thing to work in certain ways and not in others. So that if everybody functions the way they were made to function, life would get webbed together in a marvelously complex, interlocking system of mutual affirmation. There is simply a wise way and a foolish way to do most anything. All of this is affirmed in the opening lines of our passage from Proverbs. Does not wisdom call out? Wisdom does indeed call to each of us. And I suppose the question we need to ask of ourselves is, are we listening? If wisdom calls, are we interested in what wisdom has to say to us? When we think of wisdom, we might think of wise sayings that we have heard, expressions that we might wish we had coined ourselves, or that we could recall during certain conversations instead of waking up at 2 a.m. saying, "Oh, I wish I'd said that." And everyone would nod their heads. Wow, that person is really wise. There is wisdom in well-crafted words with deep meaning. However, there is also wisdom in how we live. Dr. Vicky Vaughan puts it this way. There are two ways to travel through life. Either we travel as though we are riding around in bumper cars, or we travel as though we are driving on a highway. To borrow a phrase from Robert Frost, which one we choose will make all the difference. Bumper cars travel on a platform, and where the drivers go depends on how they respond to whatever bumps up against them. Now to the right, now to the left, watch out, spinning in circles. There is no set course, no beginning, no ending. There's just random movement responding to stimuli. On the other hand, drivers on a highway get on the road at a certain point, and they do not get off the road until they arrive at their chosen exit. Sadly, it seems most people are intent on selecting the bumper car method of living and are somehow terribly surprised when the ride is over because they realize they have gone nowhere and accomplished nothing. Wisdom, or wise living, is essential to the work of the kingdom. It isn't just about showing up on Sunday morning hoping that all the puzzle pieces will make sense. We're encouraged to study the puzzle pieces and to put them in place, to recognize that there is an intended order to things, even if we can't fully understand that order. But wisdom was there in the beginning. Margaret read for us this morning, "The Lord created me first of all, the first of his works, long ago. I was made in the very beginning, at the first, before the world began." So wisdom is old, timeless even. However, the description of wisdom's inception is interesting. Today, as you saw on your bulletin covers, is Trinity Sunday. And the question might be, how does wisdom fit into this notion of the triune aspect of God, that is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, consider this passage from Genesis chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Or we might want to consider this passage from the opening of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is it possible to recognize that wisdom, which is mentioned here in Proverbs, is an aspect of the Trinity? We don't need to say which aspect, as the three are interchangeable, but here we see an argument that can be made for wisdom to either be the Son or the Spirit, as both were present with God at the beginning of all things. What is clear is that wisdom was present during the ordering of creation, that God, Father, Son, and Spirit had a plan when the world was formed. Creation is not just a random grouping of events, but is the result of God, who delights in the beauty found in the natural world. Wisdom describes herself as an architect who was with God daily and was God's source of joy. This implies that God enjoyed the act of creation. What is interesting, very interesting, is that the Hebrew word for architect or builder can also be translated as a little child. Architect, little child, same word in the Hebrew. You heard that correctly. Of course, this introduces a certain amount of ambiguity into the passage this morning, doesn't it? Was wisdom a master builder or a child? And I think it is possible to say that wisdom acted in both functions. that just as we watched the kids play with Lego this morning, we saw them demonstrate as little children a desire to build. And we witnessed their joy in the act of creating. What we do know is that wisdom delights in the world and in humanity. God delights in the world and in humanity. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit delights in humanity. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever, delights in our ability to create and play. God calls out to us and asks us to follow in the path of wisdom, which is to say, live as Jesus taught, understanding the sacrifice that he made, and also to live in communion with the Holy Spirit. God's truth is pertinent to all people. Salvation is there for all people. We don't talk about the Trinity often. Yes, in the benediction, I reference God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I certainly haven't, nor have I really done today, offered a detailed explanation of the doctrine of the Trinity. It's a doctrine which appears as an abstract and perhaps far-fetched concept, better left to theologians. However, when we study the doctrine of the Trinity, and when we bring it down to its basics, we recognize one thing. Everything that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit do is founded in God's love. Not just love which is sent from a distance, but love which acts among us. Love which is real, which reaches out and desires to have a relationship with us. Our passage this morning reminds us of God's love and that God delights to be in our presence. Amen.